Hi, I'm Lucia.
And I'm Nell, and this is Totally Normal About That, a podcast where we explore various pieces of queer media and the things we love, hate, and love to hate about them. This week, we're doing our special episode end of year wrap-up. Let's dive in.
Yes. 2026 wrapped edition. Like
2025, I believe you mean. We haven't even hit 2026 yet.
I'm ready for 2026. What can I say?
Gosh, 2025. Aren't we all?
Is dead to me. Like, this is coming out on the final day of the year, and I am so ready for that. I need this year to be over. So,
yeah, I mean, quite. But when this episode drops, it's New Year's. So happy New Year's, everybody.
Yes, happy New Year's. We are very excited for 2026, obviously. And to be fair, it was a great year. For us in some regards, in terms of like some of the podcasting stuff we did, I did have a lot of fun with some of the media we covered and having some amazing guests join us. Like, it was really great. It's more just like the year in general just wasn't that amazing.
It's been bad.
I am really grateful though that we have continued doing this, because this has felt like the good thing amongst all the crappy things. So
it's true. It's true. So,
well, since we're talking about, you know, wrapping up our year, I figured I'd give you some summary numbers on like some of the things that we did this year before we move on.
Yeah, please do.
So we put out 48 episodes of this podcast this year, including this one, which feels like a lot given that we went on a period of like bi-weekly posting.
And we skipped a week, yeah.
And we skipped a week when we went to Boston. So at the time it felt like, hey, we're putting out, like, we're skipping more weeks, but we really didn't miss that many. It's only like four.
Yeah.
It was. That's wild.
Not that many.
Not that many. Maybe we need to give ourselves more breaks. We also started two additional podcasts. We did Raise No Cry of Murder, which was our Deadlock podcast, and we did Loud and Clear, which is our Julian the Phantoms podcast, both of which are going to be continuing into 2026. We're going to be wrapping up Julian the Phantoms probably in the next couple of months. And we are going to be covering season 2 of Deadlock starting in 2026, which I'm like, yes, thank you.
Yeah, so keep your eyes peeled for some announcements about that, because we've got some fun stuff with that coming up.
Yes. We've been in some very casual conversation about maybe doing some other fun things. So should any of those things ever become reality, we will definitely let you know. But at minimum, you're going to get some more Julian the Phantoms and some more Deadlock stuff from us on top of our normal, like, episodes we post, which we're very, very excited about. We also, like I mentioned, had some really awesome guests this year. We had 7 guest episodes.
Wow.
3 of our guests were returning from 2024, and 2 of our guests were on 2 episodes in 2025. So we had Drew twice, yeah, and we had Lyra twice, and then Sophie, Katie, and Mary were all with us from last year.
Amazing.
So, yeah. And then Catherine was a new guest. We're excited because we are definitely going to be having more guest episodes in 2026. Definitely going to have some people come back, and also I think some new people that we are super excited to talk to. Not for the first time for us, but definitely for the first time on our podcast. So, right. We talked about 34 separate pieces of media. Can you, like, give me a guess what you think the breakdown was on that?
What do you mean?
Like, how many shows, how many books, how many movies? Any ideas?
I think we did only one book this year.
That would be correct.
And I feel like we probably did, like, you said 34 pieces of media?
Yes.
20 shows and 13 movies. That feels off, maybe.
That is super close, actually. We did 14 shows and 19 movies.
Oh, so I was backwards.
Yes, backwards. But, like, the numbers were...
Wow.
Like, pretty close. Two of the movies we covered were also documentaries, so...
That's true, yeah.
I've seen our calendar for 2026, assuming that we actually, you know, stick to it somewhat closely. We are making, like, attempts to mix that up a little more and, at minimum, have more books that we're talking about.
Yes.
And I'm going to make more of an effort to communicate what those are in advance. The movies, I don't think, like, require a lot of advance notice. And the shows, like, you know, we may reveal what some of them are going to be as they come up, so you guys have a little bit more time if you want to watch them with us. But the books especially, I'm going to try to let people know a little bit in advance. So if you haven't read them and you want to read them and talk about them with us, you can do that. But yeah, that also requires us to be, like, really ahead on our scheduling and, like, getting stuff done. So we'll see how well that goes, and we'll see,
right.
Like, I don't know that I'm going to give everybody, like, dates. It may just be, like, the next book we'll probably cover is going to be this, and...
That makes sense to me. Yep.
I'm going to try to do that. We'll see. You know, I don't want to overcommit. Yeah.
I don't know yet. It's going to be... Next year's going to be a surprise for everybody.
Yes. Yeah, we'll see how... We'll just see how it goes. We just, you know, wing it. If you saw how many times we changed our calendar in 2025 alone, if you knew how many times we've changed our 2026 calendar since we've made it, like,
oh my
changed
God.
The schedule oh since we've made it. So it's fine. We also stopped posting entirely on Twitter and post on everything on Blue Sky and Tumblr, which if you, like, interact with us, then you probably know that. And if you read any of our, like, episode summaries, then you know that because I've corrected all the episode summaries and, like, it's all the correct contact information is in the notes, in the show notes. But we just recently realized that we didn't change our outro, which tells you where to find us. So I don't know if that'll be corrected by this episode, but it will be corrected starting in 2026. So
yes,
I will fix that. But hey, if you didn't know where to find us, hopefully now you do know where to find us.
Now you do.
Yes. So that is some of our 2025 things. Before we talk about 2026 things, how do we feel about, like, 2025? Other than obviously it was kind of a crummy year. Like, what are the highs? What are the lows for us?
Oh my God. I mean, I had some questions and I had some things I prepared.
Awesome.
To ask you about. So, yeah, let's start. What was your favorite thing we covered this year?
Oh my gosh. See, that's hard because, like, I'm looking back at the entire year and I'm like, man, we did so many things. Like, I mean, obviously we love Deadlock enough to do a whole separate podcast about it, which was pretty great.
I guess, yeah. What was your favorite thing we covered that is not something we then did a podcast
wasn't
on?
Wasn't a second podcast. I don't know because, like, for example, I really loved Sense 8 so much. It was amazing to watch. It was amazing to talk about. And it was so fun to have Lyra come guest with us and, like, get to talk about that with her. That may have been one of my favorite things, like, new things to watch. I don't know. K-pop Demon Hunters was a lot of fun, too. Like, I had a really great time. So maybe, like, guest and non-guest episode. And also, hey, that was a show and a movie. So maybe my answers, like, Sense8 and K-pop Demon Hunters might have been two of my favorites.
Yeah, I think I would probably actually have to agree with that, because Sense8 was so good. We had so much fun. Mm-hmm. Like, as far as, like, media that I hadn't seen before, because obviously we covered some, like, old favorite things, but covering something new is always really exciting.
Right.
And Sense8 was phenomenal. We had so much fun with that. And then K-pop Demon Hunters, for those of you who don't know, has sparked a real problem in my life. Now I'm a huge BTS stan. Because I saw a TikTok video of Jungkook from BTS watching and reacting to K-pop Demon Hunters, and I was like, oh no, I'm in love with this man in, like, a not weird way. So yeah,
perfectly K-pop, healthy and not at all unreasonable amount of love. Like,
somebody on TikTok used this term, and I loved it so much. They are my comfort strangers now.
Mm-hmm, correct. Yes.
But, like, we watched K-pop Demon Hunters at a time where I was going through a lot of, like, personal tragedy. And you as well. Like, there was a lot going on the back half of this year. And so I just, like, the hyperfixation really went into overdrive. And so I was like, K-pop mm-hmm. Demon Hunters.
Hey, that's so fair, though. Like, that's so fair. Yeah, I mean, I definitely had, like, some emotional reactions to certain pieces of media that I look back and I'm like, is it that the media was just so good, or was it just that I really needed to watch that in that moment because I was just having a time? I don't know. So real, maybe though. We'll never know. We Does it matter? Like, how did you feel about watching some things and talking about some things about real people this year and not just, you know, fake characters?
I loved it. Like, I think it's so, I love fiction, and, like, I love mm-hmm. the stories that we cover that are fictional, but I think it's mm-hmm. so important to also pay attention to, like, real life and what's happening mm-hmm. in sort of queer history and the queer current events, especially because, like, when we watch media, we bring our own contexts to it, and so I like knowing mm-hmm. maybe some of the backstory, or so sort of making connections of, like, oh, they based this on this kind of thing. Mm-hmm. That can be really, really gratifying to, like, get more information and more context for that sort of thing. And then just also, like, being able to be aware of, like, oh, at the time this piece of media came out, this was sort of the thing, this was what was going on in the queer landscape.
Right.
That can do a lot to, like, inform how we look at media.
Yeah, absolutely. It was definitely really nice for me. Also because, again, I'm a huge, huge history nerd, and so getting to talk about some of, you know, queer history in particular and, like, learn about it more in detail and, like, see some of the old interview footage and stuff was really a delight for me. Mm-hmm. But like you said, I mean, I think context is really important, and, like, understanding the context in which media is made, and, you know, the landscape in which things are created and how we're experiencing them is really important, both just to our understanding of, like, queerness in general, and also to our discussions about the media at hand. It's also nice to just, like, have that difference in conversation too, because mm-hmm. you know, we dissect and project and have, like, these over-exaggerative emotional reactions to these characters because they're not real, and, like, we get to put all of our feelings on them and use them for, like, our emotional comfort when we're, like, having a hard time, and, like, refer to them to, like, express things, and so sometimes it's easy to like take some of that for granted and like take some of them, especially as we get more and more queer characters, which I am thrilled to see more and more of them on our screen. And it's nice to remember that like our community worked really hard for those, actually, and like it hasn't always been like this, and things are different and they're changing.
Yeah, absolutely. So if you could add a sequel or other season to one of the things we covered this year, what would you choose?
Man, I should have made you give me your questions in advance so I could have thought about it, because that's a hard one. Like, I guess, like, you're okay. If I could get another season of or a sequel to anything we watched this year.
Yes.
Wow. Okay. Okay, see, the thing is, I know we're supposed to get a K-pop Demon Hunters sequel. I'm very excited for that. So I don't feel like it's necessary to, like, go there. There's literally a sequel that just came out for the Knives Out movies. So, like,
right.
I don't have to worry about that. Like, I'm looking at some of this stuff. I'm like, some of it doesn't fit. I think the thing that we actually were the most upset, like, didn't get another season was Dr. Odyssey.
Yeah, we were pretty upset about that.
Yeah, there's definitely stuff that I'm like, oh, I would have liked more of that. Or, like, I would have loved, like, I would have really loved another season of Julie and the Phantoms. That would have been really great.
Man, the people are so mad that
yeah.
They had it. It was greenlit. They had started writing songs for it, and then it got canceled.
It would probably be, like, those two things, or between those two things, because both of them are ones that I'm like, man, I just really needed more of this. I needed another season of it. For me, Julie and the Phantoms probably edges out Dr. Odyssey just a little bit, because I love the music. I'm a musical kid, and it's delightful to me. But Dr. Odyssey being canceled was just a huge disappointment, and as much as I've like enjoyed the 911 universe and everything, and I have no ill will towards like the new spinoff that they're doing or whatever, I am kind of resentful of the fact that like it feels like that's what they replaced Dr. Odyssey with, and I'm like, but that was such a fantastic show, and it was really going somewhere, and I don't know, the whole transition of it all just felt very like
right
heteronormative. They did some stuff with the end of that show that I was like, okay, well, we were going somewhere and you didn't, and then they canceled it and put on more
right,
and yeah. I was just like, okay, so I don't know. Unresolved feelings about it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's definitely plenty of things that we covered that, like, do have sequels or will be getting sequels. I think Julie and the Phantoms, for sure, is up there.
Mm-hmm.
Both Pushing Daisies and Sense8 deserved another season. They both suffered from getting canceled
and
then having to sort of wrap things up too quickly. Like when we talked about Sense8, we were like, oh, there's so much more story that could have been here. Like they clearly were building some things up here. And then with Pushing Daisies, we basically talked about how they just had like introduced a million plots and answered no questions.
For sure. For sure.
So I think those are both like, I mean, I've been on the Pushing Daisies deserved another season train my entire life, like as long as that show has been out and I've been aware of it.
For sure.
And Sense8 for sure was one that like I liked what we got, but I was like, we could have had more.
Yes, absolutely. I want another season of Agatha All Along.
Yes.
Give me more of my favorite sexy witch. Like I need it. Yeah, so I could really use more of that show also. I will say, looking back, I thought I was looking at it and I was just like, man, like, there's a part of me that was like, huh, we went kind of hard on, like, Dr. Odyssey. We went kind of hard on some of the shows in general. Like, we were maybe a little extra critical of some things this year. And I definitely think some things, again, maybe suffered a little bit more criticism than needed just because of the year that we had and the time in which things fell. And I realized that we covered Dr. Odyssey in July. Like, that was right. Most of our content for July. And I was like, oh, I think that might have been one of the worst months for us this entire year. So
probably, yeah. Well, that leads me into my next question, which is if we could revisit a piece of media and, or I guess not if, because we can do whatever we want, but what's something you'd like to revisit that you feel like we had more we could have said about?
Or if we decided to revisit something.
Yes, if we decided to revisit something, what would you want to do?
Probably Pushing Daisies, honestly. Like, or Interview with a Vampire. Those two. I don't, like, regret anything that I said about those two things. Like, I was honest in those opinions and, like, perspectives that I brought to our discussions. But I feel like for Pushing Daisies, like, there was just a lot more, I think, that I wanted to talk about. And for Interview with the Vampire, too, there was just so much more that I wanted to talk about. And it's hard because we only have so much time in an episode, or else, you know, we're punishing ourselves and our listeners with, like, just way too much to get through. And unfortunately, like, some of the stuff that we covered, we gave ourselves, like, a second episode to go over. But we didn't do that for either of those. And they were shows with, like, a lot of content. And we had guests for both episodes. And I love having guests on our podcast. And, like, I had a great time recording with our guests. But it means, like, even more conversation between people. And so I would really love to go back and, like, talk more about those things, and maybe explore some other stuff within those pieces that we just didn't even get to.
Yeah. Well, Interview with the Vampire, at least, we'll get a third season. That'll be coming.
Yes.
I think sometime next year in the summer. So maybe we will be able to revisit that one in particular. Because I think you're right that there was just so much that, like, there's so many episodes where we cover them and then right after we get off the mic, we're like, we didn't talk about this.
Right. I'm like, oh, actually, I have a whole list of stuff we just failed to even say. How did that even happen?
We just skipped talking about literally everything.
Yes. And you know what? I just think that that's the downfall of, like, having such grand pieces of media and covering them in, you know, one or two part episodes. You know, how do you talk about all of the things in the course of, you know, 2 to 4 hours? Like, you just can't.
I think if I wanted us to revisit something, obviously, I mean, we did, obviously, I think it would be good to revisit both of those things. I think it would be fun to revisit Dairy Girls, because when I was listening to that episode back, I was like, wow, we exclusively talked about the parents and Sister Michael. Did not talk about the Dairy Girls.
That's very true.
We barely talked about the Dairy Girls at all as people. And so I feel like
which is fine because, like, we talked about the things we loved the most. But I do mm-hmm. think we did not give enough time to the girls yeah. themselves in Dairy Girls. So I think that that would be one that would be really fun to revisit going yeah. forward. Because
well, you know what?
It was great.
You know what? That is such a good idea, though. I mean, it's not something that we had really discussed or considered, and we may or may not do it because I'm literally throwing it out live on mic. But, you know, as we work on more projects and podcast more stuff, sometimes the reason that we take breaks and it's harder to do things is because we just don't have the time and capacity to watch a whole new thing and also cover the stuff that we're covering for, like, other podcasts. That's why we took a break or went to biweekly for Deadlock, is mm-hmm. because it just wasn't possible to cover that show with the time and energy that it deserved to do episode by episode and also watch an entirely separate show and cover it every week. We just, like, it just wasn't reasonable for us to do. But maybe that's something we should just keep in mind, is give ourselves the opportunity to come back and talk about some things that we've already discussed and just, like, go back through them on some of those periods where we need to give ourselves a little more grace, because honestly, like, I'd be really excited to do some of that and have some more of those conversations. And I know we've done some of that with Supernatural, where we, you know, set aside time to talk about, like, specific episodes or specific characters. And those are more, like, themed things. But I think it might be nice to just be like, hey, you know what? We just, like, had more to say. You want to come back and talk about this again?
Yeah, I mean, I think that that's definitely something we can do in the future. I mean, there's so much to cover all the time, but it would be fun to revisit pieces that we've covered and feel like we have more to say about.
Yeah.
I could say, because we always say, like, oh, we could say so much more about this, and then we'll revisit it someday, but then we never make time to do it, so maybe we should try to...
Which, like, yeah, I mean, part of that is definitely because we have a running Google Sheet of, like, 300 plus items that we're like, hey, we should talk about this one day. Hey, I have a list of movies. And now we've really started to ramp it up and try to do, like, more books too. And I'm like, oh, well, now the list will literally never end, which I am not complaining about, by the way. Like, we, you know, you and I will just podcast until we die. It's fine. But, like, pass the legacies on to our, you know, I guess my child, nieces and nephews or something, will, like, find some random children on the street, like, you know, make them do it. But yeah, so no complaints there, but it would be nice to go back to some things and continue some of those discussions for sure.
We covered a lot of genres this year and a lot of different tropes. What were your top three tropes that we saw this year?
Oh my god. Remember when I said there were 34 pieces of media we covered, and you're asking me to narrow it down to top three tropes covered in 34 pieces of media?
Some of them overlap.
Okay.
And yes, I am actually asking you to do that.
That's so hard. Now that's so hard.
That's why I asked you.
Ugh. You know what? I can tell you off the bat without even having to think about it. My least favorite trope that we dealt with this year was barrier gaze. And it was definitely something that came up a few times in different pieces of media that we discussed. Okay, this is really hard, actually. Like, what are yours? Why don't you start?
Well, I love angst, and we covered a lot of angst this year. Good media includes some good angst.
Okay.
Hurt comfort. We covered a lot of stuff this year that involved grief in some way, or some sort of hurt, or awful, sad thing. And we got some really good hurt comfort out of it. We got a lot of it in, like, K-pop Demon Hunters had some hurt comfort sort of stuff. Pushing Daisies has some, and let's see what a good third one.
While you think about that, I will say we covered several things this year that demonstrated really great depictions of, like, queer community and allyship that I really, really enjoyed and took a lot of comfort in. And that were just a lot of fun to watch. So that was definitely something delightful to see. I love that we're seeing more and more media that's moving away from, like, the singular, like, queer best friend trope and moving more into queer community, but also, like, casual allyship and friendship between queer and straight characters without, like, a lot of, like, I don't know, pointedness towards their queerness or whatever.
Here's one that I loved is we got a lot of self-discovery this year.
Oh man, we got a lot of self-discovery.
There's so much self-discovery or, you know, coming of age, coming out, identity realization kind of stuff that we got to cover this year. And that sort of self-exploration. Like, I think those were themes that I felt really connected with this year. And so I loved getting to cover all of those things. I mean, they were in everything.
Yeah. We also explored a lot of stories with connections between queerness and either mental health or some variation of, like, neurodivergence that I, like, really enjoyed discussing and, like, seeing. I love seeing more of that representation on screen. We also had, like, more polyamorous characters, which I was really excited about, and more ace representation this year that I was really excited about. Like, we're, getting more of a variety of representation on screen, which was really, really awesome. Also, like, we had more exploration of, like, characters who are, like, musically inclined, which isn't really a trope, but, like, was just really fun. Like, having more, like, musical movies and having, more people singing. And we talked about, like, Christmas karaoke, and, like, it was just nice to, like, have that connection to, like, music and theater and all of those things. Yeah. I liked all of those things a lot. Also, monsters. We did more monsters this year. I love gay monsters.
We do love gay monsters, yeah. I mean, queerness and monstrosity are so connected. Like, we talked a lot about that with vampires, but it really goes sort of beyond that to all monsters.
Yes. Yeah, give me more gay monsters. I also like that we kind of casually did, like, some themes for, like, different periods where we kind of talked about, like, similar things kind of just in chunks this year. That's not really a trope at all, but, like, it's just something that we kind of did as we scheduled things, we were just like, hey, let's kind of talk about these similar things for a few weeks at a time. Because it was nice to have some of those, like, through discussions of certain connections in the stories. And I'm glad that's something that we ended up opting into doing. It's not necessarily, like, something that we make ourselves do or, you know, feel obligated to do, but we just tend to find it more fun to kind of put some things together. And, like, our monster conversations were definitely one I had a lot of fun, because it's one thing to talk about, like, Twilight or Interview with a Vampire or What We Do in the Shadows or whatever, but to kind of talk about them, like, back to back to back and have some of that comparison was also, like, fun then to have a broader conversation about.
Yeah. Yeah, it's always fun when we see something in one thing that, like, reminds us of something else we've watched. That's really exciting for me to be like,
yes, for sure.
Wait, we've seen
for sure.
So for a little sneak peek for some of our listeners, what are you most excited to cover next year?
Ooh, okay. There's a part of me that's like, I don't even want to say, because I don't want to spoil that we're talking about that next year. So,
all right, well, you don't have to say an exact piece of media, but what genre, perhaps, or type of thing?
So, we obviously have, like, a giant list of stuff that we definitely want to get to, but there are a few things that we specifically noted, like, we absolutely want to talk about. I obviously am really excited to talk about more of the Knives Out franchise. I'm more excited to talk about the Knives Out franchise. I'm really excited to get to talk about the next movie. I'm really excited to talk about historical gaze. We definitely have some plans to talk about some, you know, historical fiction and queer media. And there's definitely some pieces in particular that, like, I'm particularly excited about. But I think in general that will be really fun. And then we also talked about, doing some more stuff that, you know, involves, coming out stories, and maybe that's cliche to be really excited about talking about those. You know, we've already talked about several pieces of media with coming out stories, and coming out stories is kind of like the most standard, I feel like, trope with queer media, because it's a whole thing with, you know, coming out is the thing. But, like, I do think that there are a few pieces of media that we've talked about covering that deal with that, that I'm really excited about in particular. And I just think that, like, in spite of there being a number of pieces that already exist, like, there's still so much need for those stories, especially, like, more positive representation of those stories and showing those stories in, like, a whole variety of circumstances, because I think people need to see themselves on screen. So
yeah, absolutely.
What are you kind of most excited to talk about?
I'm excited to talk about more books. There are so many good books that we just, like, have, and we really have not given books the attention that they deserve so far in the year and a half that we've been doing this podcast. So I'm really excited in 2026 that we're making an effort to cover more books, because we both love reading. Like, we're both huge readers of books, fan fiction, all that kind of stuff. And there's so many good ones that people might not know about. So, so we've got several books on our schedule for next year. Not nearly enough, because there's so many and they just keep coming out with more. But I think that'll be really fun to to cover books. And we've also got some animated stuff coming up next year that I'm really excited to talk about. We've done a few animated things in the past, but I'm excited to dig more into some animation because there's some really, really fun queer animation that we're going to talk about
next year. Yes, I'm super, super excited to talk about that. Let's see.
So, before we wrap up, I thought we could play a little game that I've put together.
Okay.
So, one of my favorite things that people do is rate things in a silly way.
Okay.
So, I've put all the things we covered this year in a randomizer wheel.
Okay.
And I'm gonna spin that wheel, and we're gonna then give whatever that piece of media is a rating out of five whatevers you want it to be. So.
Okay. So, and we can make up new whatevers for, like, each piece of media?
Absolutely, yeah. So, okay. I didn't actually put Supernatural in there because...
That's fair. That's fair.
I would have had to put in specific episodes or things like that. But, for example, you could rate the Supernatural finale 0 out of 5 construction materials.
That seems fair. Yeah.
Thought we could play a few rounds of this game.
Out of 5 construction materials. Ugh. Rude. Mel. Rude. But fair.
Yeah. So.
Alright, let's do it.
Alright. Brokeback Mountain.
Oh, Brokeback. Okay. Let's see. I am gonna rate that 4 out of 5 plaid shirts. It was very good. Also very sad. Made me cry, so hurt my feelings a little bit. would get a higher rating if it didn't hurt my feelings so much.
It wasn't just so painful.
Yes. Excellently done. Hurt my heart.
All right. I think I will also rate it 4 out of 5. 4 out of 5 fishing rods.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, empty fishing rods with no fish at all.
Fishless rods.
Fishless rods. Fish. Okay, now I feel like we're taking that to a place with rods. Okay. Anyway, what's next? What are we talking about next?
The show What We Do in the Shadows.
Ooh, okay. I am going to rank that. I'm going to rank it, I think 4.5 out of 5 blood sprinklers.
Nice. I'm going to rate it, I think I'm going to rate it 3.75 wives.
3.75 wives.
Yeah, 3.75 of Nandor's wives.
That's so funny.
Is I think, what I would like.
Yeah, I love that we're getting like a decimal point for the... For the wives, like we're getting a partial wife.
Yeah, exactly.
So good. Okay. All right. What's next?
Valentine's Day.
Okay. I am going to rank that 3 out of 5 wind up pig toys.
Nice.
I know it was a heart, but she did call him a pig, and I just feel like the fun little cute. Like, wind-up oinky pigs are actually better in that case.
Right. I'm gonna rate it 3 out of 5 roses.
Okay. All right, what is next?
Pitch Perfect.
Pitch Perfect, okay. I am going to rank that one 3.5 out of 5 riff-offs. I loved it more before we talked about it, and then we talked about it, and then I felt like, I don't know, like, critically, I'm ranking it lower, but, like, emotionally, I had a good, I had strong attachments to it still.
Yeah. I'm gonna do 3.5 because! Out of 5.
Fair, fair. Okay.
Dairy Girls.
Ooh, okay. I am going to rank that 4.5 out of 5 pink and purple 30-star American flags.
Oh my god. Oh my god. I'm going to rate
They're just so good. There's 20 states just left. No, you haven't heard about it. It's not a big deal.
Oh my god. I'm going to rate it 5 out of 5 Spice Girls.
Ooh, yes, I love that. Okay, all right, what's next?
Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Okay. I am going to rank that 4.25 Gothic castles.
I think I'm gonna rate it 4 pairs of gold booty shorts.
Ooh, okay. I'm here for that.
All right.
All right, what's next?
Twilight.
Ooh, that one's hard. That one's hard to rank. Because, like, emotionally it's higher, but critically it's lower. And again, we're talking about the movie and not the book. I'm going to rank it 3.25 grand pianos.
I'm going to rank it 3 spider monkeys.
Oh, okay. Very fun.
Glass Onion.
I'm going to rank it 4.5 burnt up napkins.
I'm also going to rate it, 4.5 hot sauce tears.
All right. All right. Okay.
Looking for Her.
Ugh. I am going to rate it 3 snow angels. Actually, 2.75 snow angels. It was very sweet, but it was very slow.
I'm gonna rate it 2.5 burnt marshmallows.
Okay. All right. It's probably about all you need.
Bones.
They were big marshmallows.
They were big marshmallows, yeah.
Bones. Okay. I'm gonna rate that. I'm gonna rate that 3.75 obscure ways to die.
I'm gonna rate Bones 4 squinterns.
Okay.
Right. I think this will be our last one. Frozen.
Oh, okay. Frozen 1 or Frozen 2? I feel like that makes a difference.
Frozen 1.
Okay. I am gonna rate it 4 out of 5 missing carrots.
I am going to rate it 3.75 love experts.
All right. I love it. Okay. So, I know we're, like, getting ready to wrap up, but before we go, it is the end of the year, and we recently, like, discussed a bunch of holiday movies. I know we're gonna be maybe doing this a little more next year with some other kinds of things, but one thing we didn't do is, talk about, like, some of the plots that we wish we had seen in some of the movies that we recently watched. And you and I have talked about some ideas we had, but I wanted to see if maybe we could take, like, 2 or 3 minutes and try to come up with, like, the perfect plot for a queer Christmas movie.
Let's do it.
Or, it doesn't have to be perfect, but just, like, a very, like, the best plot, like, something we can come up with in a couple of minutes. So, yeah, let's do that before we go. Let's see if we can plot one out that would maybe actually get the pacing right.
Okay. God.
So, first things first. What kind of couple are we talking about? Is it sapphic, MLM, non-binary? Are we looking at a polycule? Like, what are we feeling?
I think we're feeling polyam.
Okay, yeah, no wrong answers here, so, like, let's do it. So, who are our characters? Let's give them some names and personalities. How many of them are there?
I think let's go with 3, because more than that, I don't think a single movie will have enough time to develop all of them.
Okay, all right, 3 characters. Do any of them know each other when we get started? Or are they all new?
Oh, no, like, I don't know.
Maybe we should have, like, given ourselves something to start with. Like, we should have picked a movie and, like, fixed it. But it might have been easier.
2 of them know each other, but they're not dating.
Okay, so we have 2... What, like, are they friends? Are they frenemies? Are they, like, co-workers? 2 people who know each other. I think they could be friends. And there could be, like, something there. But, like, it's not said. It's not explored. It's just, like, some connection that maybe has potential but hasn't gone anywhere.
Yeah.
We definitely need someone. Obviously our third person, who I think they're brought in by a meddling relative. We have to have a meddler if we're going to have a Christmas movie. I'm thinking of, like, a meddling aunt. I like meddling parents, but I'm vibing with meddling aunt this time.
Okay. Meddling aunt who brings somebody in.
Yes. I'm gonna say, like, somebody she knows through a friend who's just, like, looking for community during the holidays. And she's like, ah, yes, I can pawn this person off on my nibbling.
Yeah. Okay. What do these people do?
Okay. Well, I'm thinking one of them needs to be a librarian.
Okay, one of them's a librarian.
Okay.
One of them is a ballerina.
Oh, okay. So we've got a very bookish gay and a very, like, artistic, disciplined gay. Oh man, that's hard. Okay. I don't know where to find balance between those two things for, like, a third person, though.
I know. I just really got this idea in my head about ballerina being involved somehow.
Okay. Like a currently practicing...
Maybe she's a dance teacher. Maybe she's a dance teacher.
It would be so cute if we have a children's librarian and a dance teacher of little ballerinas. Like,
yeah.
Okay. All right. And one of them is, let's see. I'm gonna say a bartender at a queer bar.
Yeah.
We're gonna somehow involve drag karaoke, and it's gonna be through the queer bar.
Oh my god. The bartender is non-binary.
Yes. Our ballerina is our new person to the equation.
Yes.
Yes. So we have established nerdy librarian, established kind of punk rock queer bartender at the gay
they're
bar.
They're best friends.
Yes.
And roommates.
Okay, and roommates.
They were roommates.
Which one of them has the meddling aunt? I'm thinking.
The librarian.
Yes.
The librarian, because she sees how good he is with kids, and he's like, the meddling aunt is like, you need to have your own children.
Yes.
Let me introduce you to this person, and it's the dance teacher. And everyone is a little bisexual. Everybody's kind of bisexual.
Yes, I'm thinking we have a male librarian, a female dance teacher, and a non-binary bartender. Mm-hmm. And we end up with them all, and they're all bi. Mm-hmm. I'm vibing with that. I like it. Just stick them all together in a little triangle. Yeah. I think maybe the reason that the relationship with the librarian and the bartender has never quite gone anywhere is because the librarian doesn't think they're cool enough for this bartender, and the bartender maybe thinks that they're not, like, I don't know, like,
straight edge?
Like, they're smart. Too much for the librarian. Mm-hmm. Yes, okay. They're not cool enough, or they're not, like, settled enough for this librarian. Like.
Yeah.
They're both very, they're both very incorrect, by the way.
The meddling aunt introduces the dance instructor into this equation, not because she thinks they're going to get together, but because she's trying to get the bartender to finally, and the librarian to finally get together. But oops, the dance instructor shows up and is preparing for a children's Nutcracker performance.
Okay. Okay, I'm feeling it. Okay, so how does the plot actually work out?
We've only got two minutes left.
Ugh! Okay. No, man, we really said we'd do this in 2 minutes. It took us a long time to, like, come up with these concepts. I'm very invested in them now. Okay. So They're doing children's performance of this dance at, and they're like getting, I would like it if the
they're drumming up attention for the performance of the Nutcracker by doing it at the by doing a dance from it at the library.
I would also like if this dance teacher, like, somehow individually managed to involve both roommates in doing stuff for it without, like, knowing they were connected or telling them. And so we have this whole thing where they're both, like, interested in this dance teacher and, like, spending time with her and helping her do stuff, but they don't.
Ooh, I love that. Yeah.
Like, and then they're, like, realizing, oh, we're doing this all together, and, like, it's a thing. Yeah. Okay. I would also like if we could see some formal dates and some informal dates. Mm-hmm. Like, we have some technically formal dates with the dance teacher, and we have some informal kind of casual roommate dates that they were like, this is a date, but they're not calling it a date until we finally, like, establish some things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And everything culminates at the opening night of the Nutcracker performance.
Yes. That would be super cute.
Where, oh my god, both the bartender and the librarian go to support. They still don't know about any of this. And they're both going to tell her that they like her.
Okay. I feel like they'd have to know at least a little something, but maybe they don't know about the, like, dates aspect of it all.
Right.
Like, I think they could know that they've been, like, maybe helping a little bit, or they've connected, but they don't know that there's, like, feelings there. And maybe part of the reason they haven't admitted there's any feelings there is because they're still not ready to, like, give up on each other. Mm-hmm. They're like, ah, if I commit to somebody else, then they're, like, I feel like this is over.
Right.
And there could be something here. And then I have this visual in my head of the like them on the stage and the dance teacher in the middle and the two of them like volunteers on each side. For some reason, I just think that it's just there.
Yeah. And the kids have to get involved.
Yes, we need meddling children. 100%. I think we could, because, okay, it's hard to, like, think about how we would involve this bartender with the children, and I think we just need, like, drag reading hour.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
I love it.
All right, well, we're gonna pretend that that's a whole plot.
We didn't give ourselves enough time.
We really didn't. Or preparation. This was, last minute thing. Next time we do this, I'm, like, coming prepared with, like, character beats and notes.
Correct.
But this is, you know, we do all of our special episodes, and we're going to continue that trend in 2026 of doing, like, special episodes of either, like, theme conversations or games or something into next year. So, I don't know. I definitely want to do this again, but yeah, clearly I'll need a little more preparation because I have stuff that I want to, like, flesh out now.
Exactly.
Well, maybe one day we'll also pick a thing and like, write our own fan fiction for it. Yes. It's harder to do stuff that's original.
So true. I have some ideas for other things that aren't necessarily holiday, but...
Okay.
We'll talk about those next year, so...
Yes, we will get to them. Okay.
Alrighty, friends.
Any final thoughts?
It was a good year. I mean, the year sucked is like its own thing, but we had a good podcast year.
We did have a very good podcast year. And you know what? Honestly, as we're wrapping up the year, I will just say, again, I said I'm thankful for our podcast. I am so thankful for you and our friendship and doing this with you. It has been the highlight of my year. So you've kept me so sane. I don't know how I would have made it without you.
I literally do not know.
Literally do not know. So. All right, friends. And you guys, we've appreciated you, our listeners and our friends and the people who message us and scream with us in our DMs and tell us all the things. We hope that you stick with us next year. So.
See you then.
Bye.
Normal About That is a podcast hosted and produced by Lucia and Nell. Are you feeling totally normal about something we talked about today? Is there a piece of media you feel totally normal about? We want to hear about it. You can find us on Twitter at @totallynormalat, or you can email us at totallynormalaboutthat@gmail.com. And if you are enjoying these episodes, please leave us a rating or review on your podcast app of choice. Thanks!